chapter 1 of Ruth into chapter 2, we saw some elements of God's divine plan kind of coming together to place Ruth and Boaz in the same place at the same time. And we'll see this theme kind of continue throughout this book. In fact, we're going to even see elements of this even today. So we'll start where we left off with verses 8 through 10, first to give us some context and then to see where this supposed chance meeting leads. So we did, we finished with 8 and 9 last week. We're going to add one more to it. So verses 8 through 10 of the second chapter of the book of Ruth reads like this. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." And then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" So for those who missed it last week or who maybe drifted off to sleep, yes, I can see you all, so I know when that happens. Ruth has come to the realization that she's got to go to work. She must be part of providing for her new family, namely her and Naomi. So she goes out to glean the fields because it was the harvest, the start of the barley harvest. And that was part of what we saw last week. We saw God's timing, right? That they land in Judah, Bethlehem of Judah, at the beginning of the barley harvest. So harvest time means that she's going to be fed. She happens to end up in the field of Boaz, a kinsman of Naomi, meaning that Boaz is a close relative of Naomi on her dead husband's side. And Boaz sees her in the field, and he asks about her, asking his foreman about Ruth. And the report, if you remember, was good. And she, remember how what she did? She asked if it was okay to glean. And then she was observed as working hard all day at her job. And then the verses we just read are the beginnings of the dialogue between Boaz and Ruth. And what we see is Boaz essentially offering Ruth protection and, frankly, a steady income, if you will. Now, keep in mind, this woman is basically a complete stranger to him, except by reputation, right? What he's heard around town. And the writer shows us how Boaz is making kind of a judgment call, if you will, about the character of Ruth. And he's giving Ruth, really, the benefit of any doubt. And his judgment pays off. Look at her reaction to his words in verse 10 again. She fell on her face. She bowed to the ground. See, she was showing Boaz deep respect and deference. And then her words, right? She does not understand why Boaz is doing what he is doing. Why have I found favor in your sight? Remember now, the scriptures just tell us she's a foreigner with no real standing here. Culturally, she has very little value, sad to say, as a widow and a foreigner. So to her, it makes no sense that Boaz would do what Boaz has done. But here's the beauty of this whole situation. Boaz is not making his judgment based upon cultural norms, but instead upon what he has seen and what has been described about this woman's character, right? Wow. What a lesson we could learn from that, right? It's so easy to make generalizations and assumptions based on limited information, but instead, see, Boaz shows us what it is like to base a conclusion on facts, on actions, on his own observation. In fact, he provides this information to Ruth just as she had asked in verses 11 and 12. Reads like this. Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. So here they are, right? The reasons that Boaz would kindly treat a widowed Moabitess. Ruth had cared for her mother-in-law, a close relative to Boaz. And Ruth had done this even while grieving the loss of her own husband. Ruth had not only cared for Naomi, but she had done so by leaving behind her own family, her father, her mother, the land of her birth, and all the customs and traditions associated with the land of Moab. Now, Ruth lived in a land where she did not know the traditions and the customs, but instead had to learn what it means to be part of the Hebrew culture. And do not miss this, right? The Hebrews did not assimilate well with others. In other words, they were pretty hard on foreigners. Boaz was describing not only Ruth's selfless work ethic, but also her willingness to leave behind so much for the sake of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And I love verse 12. In fact, it's from this verse that our sermon title comes today. May the Lord reward your work. See, Boaz is essentially praying a blessing over Ruth in this passage. May the Lord bless your work, and may your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel. See, Boaz, knowing she comes from a different culture, makes sure that he informs Ruth who his God is. And remember this, Ruth has already stated to Naomi that Naomi's God is her God. These two are now singing from the same hymn book, right? Ruth and Boaz. Ruth, in fact, has already experienced the protection of God. She has already experienced the protection of his wings on their journey from Moab, and even in the last few days in the fields as she gleaned. Really, what Boaz is saying is this: I see the strength of your character, and I pray that you will experience blessings from God as the fruit of your labor. Folks, I want the same for all of us here. I want us to experience the blessings of God as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I want us to experience full wages as we do the work that God has laid before us to do. Now, some of you may be thinking that this labor needs to be in some kind of ministry. Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe what God is calling you to do is to be a husband that provides well for his family. Maybe what God is calling you to do is to serve your family well. Maybe what God is calling you to do is to serve your employer well, so that maybe you get the invitation to have the conversation, right? You know, sometimes life is not super spiritual, but more mundane, right? What Ruth was doing here was mundane. It was hard work. It was a necessity that had little to do with religion, but it was the right thing at the right time, right? We said it a few weeks ago, serving God in the little things will make the big things come much easier, right? As we learn to put our faith and trust in him and not in ourselves. See James chapter 1. Look now with me at verses 13 and 14 as Ruth responds to the kind words of Boaz. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Do you see Ruth in verse 13? This is beautiful. She is open so open about how Boaz has treated her. And to me, it's really refreshing to see. She realizes that she has found favor in his sight, but notice what she says next. The words that Boaz spoke to her were words of comfort. Comfort. Think that through with me. She is in such an uncomfortable situation, right? In a foreign land, having to make a way for herself and for Naomi. She does not know how to navigate this new life. And then Boaz comes along and tells her, "You're getting it right. You are doing well. You are making a difference." And notice this. She recognizes that not everyone hears words like this from the master. And he's not even her master. There is seemingly nothing to gain for Boaz to speak kind words to Ruth. Do you kind of know what I mean? See, some people will quickly use flattery to get what they want out of a relationship. Employers sometimes puff up their employees in order to get more productivity out of them. This is not the case with Ruth and Boaz, is it? She is not under his employ. Therefore, his words ring that much more true in her ears. And then, just to prove out that his words are not hollow or meaningless, we get to see them interact over a meal, right? Boaz invites her to the table, again, outside the cultural norms, right? And then, to take things even further, Boaz serves her roasted grain. She had just compared herself to his maidservant, yet here we see Boaz serving Ruth. And it's not a one-bite kind of a thing. The writer tells us she ate and was satisfied and had some left. They spent some time together, people. Boaz showed her what it looks like to have her cup runneth over. She's experiencing abundance. Boaz had zero obligation whatsoever to serve Ruth in this way. This is a true act of selflessness and kindness, and it's beautiful, isn't it? Well, the workday is not over for Ruth. Look how the rest of the day unfolds, starting with verses 15 and 16. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposefully pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." Now, if you remember where we started this morning, you may recall that Boaz told Ruth to stay and glean only in his fields. Now he takes this and he communicates a message to his own workers. And frankly, Boaz even takes it up a notch or two. Not only is Boaz offering her protection in his field, he is now assuring that Ruth will have success in her work. Boaz tells his servants, "Make sure she has success in her gleaning. Leave behind more than you normally would. In fact, pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it for her." In other words, the servants have done the bulk of the work for her. She needs only to pick up what's been left behind for her. And his last statement, again, it points to the lowly position of those who are unfortunate enough to have to glean. "Do not rebuke her." In other words, he's telling his servants, "I have found favor in Ruth. Let her be." And do not miss this. By guaranteeing her success, Boaz is also providing for his kinsman, Naomi, right? It is a kind and generous gesture by Boaz. May the Lord reward your work. Boaz himself is fulfilling his own prayer to God, his own blessing upon Ruth. Look with me now at verses 17 and 18. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. So we see Ruth finishes the day, threshes the grain, and comes up with about a bushel of barley. Folks, that's a good day when you're gleaning fields. It's a good day. The writer even confirms that it's a good day by describing what Ruth does with her bushel of barley. She's able to eat her fill and have plenty of leftovers for Naomi as well. So did the Lord reward her work? You can answer. Did the Lord reward? Thank you. See, I believe the blessing of Boaz has come to pass, right? The Lord did reward the work of Ruth. In fact, I think it's important to see the chain of events in how each right decision led to the next, to the next, to the next, right? Ruth decided that she must do something to provide for herself and for Naomi. She does not just decide, but she also acts. She heads to the field to glean, and God blesses her actions by sending her to Boaz. Ruth is then blessed by Boaz, not just because he's a nice guy, but also because he sees in Ruth a woman of good character taking care of his kinsman, Naomi. So Boaz makes some next right decisions, and in the end, at least this end, both Naomi and Ruth are blessed by her work, by her obedience. My friends, that's a beautiful picture, but let's not forget how all of this can kind of go the other way. We wake up in the morning and our first decision can set the tone for the whole day, right? And I don't know if it works this way for you, but it often does for me. One bad decision typically leads to another bad decision, which typically leads to another bad decision. And before long, I find myself in a bit of a hole, right? Sometimes a deep one. So how important it is to start right. So much easier to stay right than to turn the ship around and get it going back in the right direction. Now, I say that, but don't misunderstand me. Even if we started poorly, our God can help us right the ship, can he not? God can help us redeem the day. God can help us redeem the situation. All it requires is simply confession and repentance. God stands ready to help with both, right? You see that in 1 John 1:9. Well, Naomi is curious. How did Ruth manage to do so well gleaning the fields? Look with me at verses 19 to 20 to see this conversation between Ruth and Naomi. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "This man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." So it's clear, right? It's clear right out of the gate to Naomi that good things happened today, right? It's clear to Naomi that the amount of barley that Ruth had gathered was due to something beyond just hard work. So she asks her some obvious questions, the kind of the where and the how. In fact, she does not just ask the where and the how, but makes the observation, "May he who took notice of you be blessed." She realizes that someone has intervened on the part of her daughter-in-law. Naomi, see, is an observant woman, isn't she? Ruth, not knowing the relationship between Naomi and Boaz, simply tells Naomi his name. "I work in the field of a man named Boaz." Remember how Naomi felt when she returned to her hometown? Was she a little bit down, a little bit depressed, a little bit feeling sorry for herself? She was down and she was bringing everyone down with her. She even openly blamed God for all her trouble. But did you notice now the subtle change in her attitude? A full belly will sometimes do this, right? When speaking of Boaz, Naomi says this, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. See, she blesses Boaz for the kindness he has shown to Ruth, but also to her, the widow of his close relative. Boaz has shown kindness to Elimelech even in death. And Naomi blesses him for it. God, see, has taken this really bad set of circumstances and slowly but surely he is redeeming them for his glory, right? Proving out, once again, Romans 8:28. Then Naomi just tells Ruth that Boaz is a close relative of hers. And I hope you notice she does not say just hers, right? But instead says ours. Ours. He is one of our closest relatives. Another piece of the puzzle falls into place in the divine plan of God, right? Again, started by people of good character doing the things that people of good character do. Look with me now at verses 21 to 23 as we finish the chapter this morning. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.' Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field.' So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law." So Ruth kind of finishes the story of the day, recounting all that Boaz had told her, and Naomi affirms that Ruth should follow the instructions of Boaz. See, it's clear to Naomi that Boaz is protecting Ruth, as well as making sure both Ruth and Naomi are fed. And also, the writer informs us that this arrangement continued through both the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. This would have spanned several weeks. So this arrangement, it's not a short-term thing. In other words, Ruth and Boaz were now seeing each other regularly through this time of harvest. Again, kind of foreshadowing things to come, right? Can we see the hand of God at work in the lives of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz? Can we see it? Yes, you can answer. It's frankly hard to miss, isn't it? And we'll see later on the kind of the true significance of these relationships. In fact, if you want to read ahead, it's okay. Here's what I hope we saw this morning. I hope we saw the true value of hard work, right? Boaz did. And Ruth and Naomi got to experience the fruit of an honest day's work. And I hope we see how making the next right decision and the next right decision and the next right decision will generally result in good things. And I hope we realize that the opposite is also true. When we make wrong decision after wrong decision after wrong decision, generally the results will not be so good. In fact, in my experience, the right results will be kind of bad, maybe really bad, with consequences. So what is that saying? That saying that says something like, sin always costs more than we're willing to pay, right? There's another piece of that, but I never remember what it is. That's okay. There you go. Takes you further than you want to go, costs more than you're willing to pay. Thanks. We are going to see, as we work through this book, we're going to see fruit come from the right decisions and from the hard work that these players are putting in as we move forward through this book. And I hope this morning, as we see the fruit of labor paying off, I hope it is encouraging for you as it has been for me to see how God uses the little things to generate big, good things. Let's pray. Father, you give us your word for all kinds of different reasons. And I feel like this morning you're giving us your word just as an encouragement to make good, right decisions, to work hard at the tasks you put in front of us to do, to not serve selfishly, but to serve selflessly, seeing the needs around us, meeting those needs around us where we're able. Lord, you equip us for the tasks that you give us. Let us not miss that. Let us not miss those opportunities to serve others, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, the relationship that we'll see come from Ruth and Boaz was built on a solid foundation. May we be about laying that same kind of solid foundation in our lives as we make the next right decision. Lord, bless us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you join?